And finally, God making use of the Pax Romana, 200 years of relative peace all around the Mediterranean, where it was fairly safe to go from region to region, country to country, without obstacles, without war. You know, there was better peace then than today. And for their time, you know, travel was quite easy so that the gospel could be spread. God using all these things in his time to carry out his purpose. So at just the right time, you know, God puts everything together and then it works. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Who would you die for? Probably for my children, for my spouse. You know, I'm trying to think, are there friends that are close enough that you'd be willing to sacrifice your life? No, but would you do it for someone that was an enemy, someone that was opposed to you? That's the part that is so hard. Excuse me. I'm a little tickle here. You know, for the love that must be there, you know, the love God has for us, that he would be willing to die for us. And not just the Son, the Father willing to give up his Son. You know, in the role of Abraham, willing, you know, loving us so much that he would sacrifice his Son, and the Son loving us enough that he would be willing to be sacrificed. And he's telling the disciples ahead of time, this is what's coming. Yeah, so this wasn't just an act of, you know, the horrible people, you know, taking advantage of someone. It was all planned out. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you demonstrate love in any other way or in any better way? You know, it's God loves us unconditionally. It's part of his nature. You know, when we can offer him nothing, you know, he offers us everything. The love that God has for us is beyond our comprehension, yet it is still there. It's still real. Any comments on God's love here? Okay.
Merv, yes. a word that you mentioned that I just love what you said is unconditional love. I think most of the love we see is actually pretty conditional. It's pretty much, you know, if you do this, then I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And what you described is even if we sin or fall away, God's love is going to be constant. And I don't think the world understands that kind of love. And that's why it's so important to just grab unconditional love from God the Father. So thanks for pointing out.
Yeah, I think
as a parent, I'm trying to work on that. You know, because as a parent, you can fall into the trap of, man, I'm going to really love my kids if they get that A on their report card. And boy, they're going to get a treat. That's not the picture of love from God, the Father. It's, you know, we're unconditional love no matter what happens to the children. So I'm trying to work on that as a parent, to display that love.
I also think it's really interesting in verse 6. You know, we hear all throughout, especially the New Testament, about how Christ died for sinners. And even in the Old Testament, as that was a plan that was being announced in different ways. But here in this text, it says that Christ died for the ungodly. To me, that is a more harsh description of the people that Christ died for than any of the others that we see, saying that he died for sinners, saying he died for us while we were still in sin. But to say that in general, he died for the ungodly, to me, that's almost a exaggeration. But it's not. That's what he meant. People that were actually against him and people that were seeking to do him harm are some of the same people that he died for. And to me, that's kind of that's more superlative than how we see it in other texts and other contexts.
Yeah. Yeah. Think of all the horrible people that have been through history, and God died for them also. I had a friend, well, more of an acquaintance when we were in Kansas, a brilliant man, but had suffered with different diseases, so he couldn't work, but could study. And I remember he had a way of expressing very complex theological ideas in very simple words so you could understand them. And there was one Bible study I was sitting in, and he said, for him, he loved singing, he loved music, but for him, the most profound song he could come up with, three simple little words in it, Jesus loves me. He says, he knew himself and what he was like, and yet Jesus could love him. That was amazing. And he says, almost as amazing was Jesus loves you. Because he didn't see all the sin in others that he saw in himself. So Jesus being able to love him that much, to die for him, it's just amazing. What more can you want? It says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? If you think of all that God did to save us, even while we were his enemies, going through all of the things, thousands of years of planning, the suffering. Imagine God having to live on earth for 33 years and put up with all the garbage of humanity. How long could you live in a sewer? That's what God had to do, to live here on earth and see the sin of the world everywhere, to experience it. But yet, this is what he did. If he's going to go through all this to save us, will he, if he's done this to justify us, how much more shall we be saved from his wrath through him? For when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? He's not going to do all this for nothing. There's going to be a result. The hard part, though, is all of this is done by faith. We can't say, okay, here's the evidence, here's the proof that all of this is true. This is all based on faith and nothing we've done. It's just the best we can do is just say, yes, I believe. I think it kind of goes against our nature. We think, we have to do something to help. All we can do is simply respond to God's goodness. But his goodness is not going to go to waste. If he would go to that trouble, would he allow us to, when we die, just go to nothing? Or be punished for all that we deserve? Some years back, I was teaching a confirmation class, and we were getting into the commandments. And the students, they were seventh graders, they just kind of, oh yeah, heard of the commandments. And so we stopped and broke each commandment down a little bit. You know, how many times have you done this? You know, in actual, how many times have you broken this one with what you've said, and how many times in thought? How many times per day? And with seventh graders, it was especially the fourth commandment, honor your parents. Yeah. How many times per day might you break that commandment? And then multiply that by how many times per year? Or how, you know, 365 days per year, how many years are you? When you start multiplying that, how many times have you broken that commandment? And then I said, if you deserved one swat from a paddle, if for every time you did that, could you still be alive now? And there were some that would sit down and multiply everything out, and the numbers astounded them. And they said, there's no way. You know, if we got what we deserved, we'd have no chance. But God took that all away and said, you know, in my sight, you're perfect. He says, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. You know, the relationship between us and God is restored back to as it should be. And imagine the time we will have in heaven with that restored relationship. While we wait here, you know, we're free to return as best we can the love he gives us. We can't do it perfectly, so we do it as best we can, and he makes it perfect. Any thoughts on today's reading?
Just want to throw one thought that just caught me here, that the end goal is reconciliation. As Murd, you talked mm-hmm. about reconciliation is about a relationship that is fully restored. I think sometimes we think the goal is forgiveness, but sometimes we forgive someone, the relationship isn't quite restored. Reconciliation is a further step than just forgiveness. And so I'm getting feedback here. I always recall in the Lutheran prayer companion for pastors, it doesn't call the section forgiveness, it calls it reconciliation. And so that's to me a more relational wholeness than just forgiveness. It's kind of like a transaction moment. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was just thinking back to some in the past that have hurt me. Have I forgiven them? Yes. It took a while, but they were forgiven. Has their relationship been restored in any way? No. That would be harder. Now, it's part of it living in a completely different state now. But I can't say I even want to go back and try to rebuild the friendship that was there to start with. Yeah, that reconciliation is so much more.
I think it's also interesting in this reading that we are reminded of what that relationship was originally, how it was intended at the creation when it was Adam and Eve and God, and how it was fractured. And that sort of illustrates for us even better the relationship between God and sin, that he can't have a relationship with us because of that. And that was what fractured the relationship in the first place. And through this process, which is completely outlined in this reading, how we get from point A to point B, which is 100% complete and full reconciliation, is spelled out completely in this reading. And yeah. I just think that makes it so complete It's almost a synopsis of the entire word in 11 verses. And to me, that's, I really like that. It's kind of a contextual reboot in a way, bringing us back to creation, what fractured the relationship, and how it was restored and completely restored through reconciliation.
Yeah, it's kind of puts the whole Lenten season in just a few verses. It's amazing there. You know, this past week, had a neighbor who lost her father, another Christian, and writing a note to her saying, you know, yes, he's gotten worse, but the victory's been won for him. I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 15, where, O death, is your victory, where, O death, is your sting. That's thanks be to God, he's given us the victory through his son. Yeah, we win. This whole thing here, saying the same thing. Any others? Okay. Coming up this for this next week, we're going to be going into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to read through that at all, but the lessons for the next 4 weeks throughout the rest of Lent is in the church newsletter. Yeah, so next week, I didn't write down the verses here. I know it's 1 Corinthians, but each week we'll be getting into those. It can help sometimes to study those on your own ahead of time. I know I try to always read ahead and think about things for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, because the more I think about it, the more God reveals. Even with today's lesson, I don't know how many times I studied this in the past, but there were some things that hit me new even as I was driving over here today, especially that part about God's time. All of the things that God had to do to get, earth ready for his son. If we're finished, then why don't we close with a word of prayer and we'll give people a chance to get ready and make it to church. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard for us to understand how much you love us, how much you've done for us. All we can do is to love you in return, to respond to the great love you've given us. Help us to freely, willingly love you, not in fear, but to do it in joy, knowing that you take care of us, and no matter what happens, you are there for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.